Last week we had lesson four. We did not finish lesson four. And so we're going to try to finish up lesson four. We're studying diseases of the heart, and that is those things that can be inside a person that that corrupts their heart, that takes them away from God, that takes them away from the peace of God that they should enjoy in life. It's those things that are sinful, those things that will keep us from going to heaven. And yet, like I've said before, we're all in the same boat. Because we're all what?
Sinners.
We're all sinners, okay? We're all sinners. We're all humans. Yeah. There's human frailties out there. But God does not leave us alone in it. He gives us direction and purpose in our life so that we can take those things and cast them aside. Now, I'm not saying that it's easy. And last week, we looked at pride and arrogance. And we took a look at some Bible characters. And sometimes you look at that and you think, why did that person fall into pride about something? Why was that person arrogant? And we have to be careful because we can fall in the very same boat. And you can think of maybe some people in your lives that have shown pride and arrogance, and we pinpointed some characteristics last week. I think it was kind of eye-opening and funny, some of the things that you brought up. One of them was that an arrogant person is a know-it-all. And you think, they think that, well, they already have the answer. And there's no reason to hide it, and so they probably tell you, right? They're a know-it-all. Another characteristic that you brought up was, what? What am I missing? They were a know-it-all.
They're not sensitive to other people's
feelings. And that's because they're very self-centered, a self-centered person. Mary Brown gave me a statement right after class last time. She said, a proud person is an I person. They're always talking about themselves. I did this, and I want that, and I. Sounds like the Navy. Attribute of somebody that might have pride in themselves and maybe their accomplishments, and therefore it is sinful. It's taking themselves away from the glory of God. And we all have to be careful of that. There's something on my mind I just forgot. Well, maybe we'll come back. Josh had something he pinpointed that we have to be careful about. Pride and pride can take you away from the truth. Isn't that kind of what you said last week, right? We have to be careful. And there's some members of the Lord's church that have, written books and things like that. I have somebody on my mind just because we were talking about him earlier this afternoon. And how he became, someone can become kind of famous and write books and whatever, and then he thinks, well, you know what, I'm just gonna, try to incorporate more people, so I'm gonna sway kind of over this way, and somewhere along the line, he loses the truth, and it could be from a prideful action, it could be from arrogance that this person picks up somewhere along the line, but we all have to be. We all have to be careful. I want to review some things that we went over last week before we go on. Yeah, it's all about me. You got that right. All right, next. This definition was interesting because it actually took on 2 points. Feeling of self-respect and personal growth is a part of pride. Is that wrong? No. And we discussed last week how important it is to have self-respect. Because if you don't have self-respect, if you don't have that love for yourself, then you're not going to love other people. And you encounter people like that now and then. I know you do. They have very very small respect for themselves, and they have probably less respect for those around them. And it's all what they have inside and how they look at themselves. So self-respect, a good self-image, becomes important in your life. It becomes important in your spiritual life. And then the second part of this definition, unreasonable and inordinate self-esteem. Now, it's going way over. This isn't somebody that has maybe bad self-esteem, but now they're way over. Now they might have kind of an arrogant view of some of others. And so they think they are superior in some ways to others. And they become arrogant and prideful. So we said that there's a good sense in pride, and that it has to do with self-respect. But there's also a bad sense, and that is there's self-importance and arrogance that can come on to someone. Go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 26 again. In 2 Chronicles chapter 26, we came across a young king. Who was that? Uzziah, okay. He started off pretty, what? Did he start off pretty good? Yeah. If you read about when he became king and went on, he was doing pretty good in the sight of God. Doing pretty good. He built up Jerusalem. He built up the forces around Jerusalem. He had the sense and wisdom to use people from the outside. And, I mean, these are the qualities of a good leader. But yet something happened. He became prideful, and he did something wrong. What was that wrong action? He transgressed the law by doing what? Entering the temple. He wasn't supposed to. God became angry, and God disciplined him severely. What was his discipline? Leprosy. So now you have someone who seems to have it all on top of it all. And then he does something wrong, and he's disciplined severely. You think about leprosy. When someone has leprosy, they're not around other people. They're around other lepers. What a disgraceful action for him to have to live with. And then die with leprosy. And we also took a look at the book of Esther, and there was a man named Haman, and he was full of pride. And then we also took a look at the book of Daniel, chapter 4. And in that story, there was another king. Who's the king in Daniel, chapter 4? Nebuchadnezzar. All right? It's up there, isn't it? Okay. Nebuchadnezzar. full of pride and arrogance. If you can help me out, let's see. There was a part where it says, there's a part where Nebuchadnezzar talks about pretty much about himself, giving himself the glory and giving himself accolades for his kingdom. And God says in verse 31, while the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be in the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. A ruler is a ruler because God decides it. God gave Nebuchadnezzar the job of being a ruler because God chose so. That's it. And God uses people for his purposes, whether good or evil. What about the apostles? You can maybe find a little bit of pride and arrogance there in that they had to ask who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I don't think they had it just kind of quite right what the kingdom is going to be set up like, you know, what the kingdom is going to be all about. Who is going to be the greatest in heaven, according to Jesus? The one that serves. That's the one that's going to be the greatest in heaven. It's not going to be allocated, this one is great, and then this one's the lesser, and this one is the lesser. Jesus said, the greatest is going to be the servant in the kingdom. All right. Let's take a look at how pride doesn't stop. In the beginning of this quarter, I mentioned that sin can have a lot of fingers, and it can go off in a lot of different directions, and it doesn't necessarily have to stop. So even though pride is a sin, it doesn't necessarily have to stop there. It can branch out and affect a lot of other people. Here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil." Who's speaking? Satan. Satan speaking. All right, so now you have the story of Eve, and instead of obeying God, she decides to obey a serpent, a talking serpent, and decides, well, maybe that forbidden fruit isn't all that forbidden. I wonder what was going through her mind. Maybe if I just take a little teeny tiny bit, it wouldn't be that bad. Then after she did eat of it, she went to who? Her husband. What did her husband do? Took a little teeny tiny bit. He ate of it also. Where does this whole thought process come from of saying, okay, God said this, but I'm going to do this over here? Could it come from pride? Could it come from saying, I know what God says, I know what he said, but you know what? I really just want to do this. And that's an easy trap. It's an easy trap to fall into. Eve fell into it. Adam fell into it. We can fall into it. Number two, pride can prevent conversion. Some of you have had Bible studies with someone. Some of you might have Bible studies right now going on. You might have been in a position where you're studying with someone that knows the Bible pretty well. And even though you present them the truth, for some reason, it just stops. And they go back and they say, yes, but I believe this. And I believe this. I have had some people come back and report to me and say, you know what, I had a Bible study with them, and they said, I know what the Bible says this, but I believe in this. Where's that thought process come from? Yeah, arrogance. And ladies and gentlemen, we better be careful. We're not outside that. Pride and arrogance can be within the kingdom of God. And if you sit down with your Bible, you better be careful. And when you're reading the Word of God and you take it in, you better be truthful with yourself and look at it carefully. But pride can prevent conversion. Isn't that something? Someone can have so much pride that they decide not to be converted into Christianity, into the truth. Let's go ahead and take a look at, let's turn to Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. This brings up the opposite of arrogance, which is humility. Humility toward God, humility toward God's word, and humility toward other people. That's what God is looking for. Flip on over to Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Notice that it does not say, blessed are those that are prideful and full of arrogance, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't say that at all, does it? It's blessed are those that are poor in spirit. Blessed are those that have a humble heart, that have a humble attitude. What greater example of humility is there than to think that Jesus in all his glory in heaven came down to earth as a helpless baby only to grow up and then be sacrificed on the cross for us and our sins? Even though he was sinless, he humbled himself to that point. Unbelievable. And what a great example for us to follow. Acts 24:25. Acts 24:25. Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now, when I have a convenient time, I will call for you. Sometimes having a Bible study is hard to set up. Sometimes people don't want to hear. Think about maybe some of our young people pass a tract to someone. That is that young person's responsibility, and they fulfill that responsibility. The tract is in the other person's hand. Now it's up to that person what to do with it. Is that person going to read it or throw it away? It's out of our hands. It's in God's hands. It's up to that person what he's going to do with that information. Prevents the confession of sins. Go ahead and turn over to 1 John chapter 1. I'm sure are quiet tonight. If anybody has a comment, please feel free. I just left the dentist office and I'm doing pretty good. I'm surprised I can talk too. No, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad, but you'll be very surprised what I thought of when I was sitting in the dentist chair. I thought, boy, is this a humble experience. I'm sure all of you have been there. When I was thinking of Nebuchadnezzar and I was thinking of Haman, I was thinking of Isaiah, just because I didn't want to think about where I was, I guess. Well, anyway, nothing against you, Shirley. All right, First John chapter 1, 8 through 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his words is not in us. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Wake up in the morning. I'm doing okay. About the whole day, I'm doing okay. No sin in me. Look at me. I'm doing pretty good. Is that the truth? You've already deceived yourself if you think that way. The deception is already there. It's already been planted. And so a humble attitude is that you humbly go to God in prayer and ask for forgiveness. That would be the action of a humble person. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 21. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Coming to worship God and having something so heavy on your heart is tough. Putting brother against brother because of some prideful action or arrogance. That can't be. Yeah, we have to train ourselves to go to a person and and say, look, I'm sorry. Something like that. And humble yourselves to that point to go to that person. For some people I think it's easy, and other people it's hard. It's tough. It's a large step to take, to step out of that pride and step into humility and go to a person like that. There's people that have been married for years, still have problems with that. I remember a deacon, not a deacon anymore, he moved away, but he said, one of the greatest words I found out you can say is, I'm sorry. greatest word. I'm sorry. All right, Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that be by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen or a tax collector. Another degree of humility. James 5:16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. God wants us to confess our trespasses. He wants us to say, I'm sorry. He wants us to have that degree of humility that we can step out of our pride and go to another person and say, I'm sorry of the action that I took, and ask for forgiveness. Yes. Very good. And what a lot to work on. What a lot to work on if you do have a tainted view like that. Number four, causes contention. Proverbs 13:10. By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well advised is wisdom. Wisdom from the book of Proverbs. By pride nothing comes but strife or contention. Causes rebellion, Psalm 10:4. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is none in none of his thoughts. Isn't that something? Someone can be full of pride and arrogance. I'm higher than the Almighty. Therefore, I'm not going to listen to the Almighty. Okay. Leads to apostasy. 1 Timothy 3:6. I'm talking about attributes that needs to be with a person that is an elder, not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. And Proverbs 16:18. A man devoid of understanding shakes hands in a pledge and becomes surety for his friend. And 1 Corinthians 10:12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he falls. Important verse for all of us. We have the ability to fall. Every one of us. Elder, deacon, deacon's wife, teacher. Everyone has the ability to fall. We've got to be careful. The Bible is specific about pride being a sin. Go ahead and take a look over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 6. Chapter 6, starting with verse 16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. A proud look is a sin. Let's go to chapter 16, verse 5. I'm going to get this word right this time. No, I'm not. All right, verse 5. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination, thank you, to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. Is pride a sin? It will not go unpunished. If there's any sense of pride in us, we need to back up, and we need to start looking up, and look in that mirror and say, "I got to get this taken care of." All right. Defiles a man. Look over to the book of Mark, chapter 7. We have verses 21 through 27. From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, and all these evil things come from within and defile a man. I'm not sure why I wanted to go on. From there he rose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. And the woman was a Greek, Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to little dogs." Anyway, look at the top verses there, 21, 22, 23. Out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts. Somebody does something wrong, you could say, where did that come from? It came from their heart. And it defiles people. Satan tempts man with the pride of life. There's a temptation there to fall into this sin. Last week we talked about sports stars and entertainment persons. And somebody mentioned a name. I wasn't going to mention a name. Somebody mentioned a name about a young lady that's pretty prevalent in the entertainment world. Really kind of falling apart. And she's all over the news. And then we have sports stars that make a lot of money playing their sport. Is there anything... Is there anything wrong with playing a sport? No. Is there anything wrong with making a lot of money playing a sport? I don't know. I'm not going to make that judgment right now. But we have to understand that we created that world. If we hold football players to such a high esteem that we're saying, yeah, go ahead, you know, pay him millions and millions of dollars to catch that football. Yes.
Starts at a very young age because we want our kids to play sports.
And yeah, what a strong lesson. We do create situations for pride to grow as parents. Yeah, we sure do. All right, let's go through forms of pride. Spiritual pride. What could spiritual pride be? I'm me and you're not. No. What could spiritual pride be? I'm a better Christian. I'm on top of everything. I make the decisions around here. Intellectual pride. A smarter Christian. Pride of material things. A richer Christian. Richard says a richer Christian. Look at my car. No, please don't. No, look at my car is faster and better than yours. My car is shiny, yours is dull. My car has four wheels, yours has three. Social pride. I live on Palm Beach. You don't. Pride of place. That's could be, we talked about sports, entertainment, your place in life. Pride of face. I'm beautiful and you're not. You have hair, I don't. Pride of sin. I know I did that. I meant to do that. I don't care what God says. Pride of sin. Man, you read the newspaper and you can come across this real easy. What's astounding to me is times that they catch a criminal and the criminal doesn't look remorseful. Maybe he murdered somebody. Maybe he murdered a lot of people and there's just no remorse there. He could be full of pride, even pride of sin. Heart-searching questions. Okay, everybody write this down and give it to me next. No, I'm just kidding. Have you ever been motivated by pride to accept an important position in the Lord's church? Ooh, somebody asked me to do that. They must have a lot of confidence in me. Number two, to refuse a job because you feel it is insignificant. I don't want to sweep the floors. I don't want to vacuum after everybody eats. What kind of job is that? That's terrible. I don't want to wipe the tables or put up the chairs. To be envious if someone has been commended and you haven't. We already had a lesson on envy and the evils of envy. This comes up, ladies and gentlemen. It can come up in the Lord's church. We have to be careful. Have you ever been motivated by pride to reject helpful criticism? Don't tell me how to do it. I already know how to do it. Have you read the directions? No, but that doesn't matter. I already know how to do it. I was born knowing how to do that. Number five, to be unappreciative of others' accomplishments. Can happen. It can happen in the kingdom of God. Well, how come that guy got to be an elder? You know? He doesn't even look like an elder. I don't know what an elder's supposed to look like, but he don't look like one. To hold on to something you know is wrong. You'd be motivated by pride to do that. I know that's wrong, but boy, I like it. I just want to hold on to it. It means a lot to me. I don't want to let it go. Could send somebody to hell. I'm just going to keep it. And let's take a look at the last part here. If we're going to have a cure for pride, we need to possess God's attitude toward pride, and that is pride is sinful and wrong. We need to get it out of ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about love. Love is not puffed up. Love does not think of itself, but thinks of others. Paul says in the letter to the Corinthians. And remember that we're all but humans. And Psalm 9:20 says, put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, for I say through the grace given to me that everyone who is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And Galatians chapter 6, verse 3, for if anyone thinks of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. And then in the book of Micah chapter 6, verse 8, it says, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Those three things are required of us. Thank you. Everybody gets an A. Have a good evening.